Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? What's up, everyone? It is Best Bot, Kid Smoove, co-host, Attic, Lord Attic, ILP. What's going on? Good morning. How you doing?
It's been a hectic week, man.
Yeah, I see you getting into all sorts of trouble. Toxic positivity, toxic masculinity, toxic relax, toxic. You're too serious, you're too negative. Oh man. We're gonna definitely get into that, but you know, shouts out to everyone from on the Patreon. Shout out to Weapon Wheel Crew. We're going strong, and we're on episode 32. No Patreon questions. So this episode is going to go fairly quick. This is probably, we're shooting for like maybe 40, 45 minutes. There's not much going on. Just going to start off with the games we've been playing. Attic, we can start with you.
Pretty much the only thing I've been playing is Rebirth.
Okay. How's that going for you? Are you almost done with it?
No, not really. I would say about 20 hours in.
Okay.
And I really ain't done nothing. Like,
oh, really?
I just got to a place called the Gold Saucer.
I know you're not a graphics person, but there's been a lot of polarizing discussion about the game and its visuals and its performance. How you've been playing the game, and what is your take on its visual makeup?
I've been playing on performance mode.
Mm-hmm.
And people said, well, you know, this is like one of the games that you should play on fidelity. But mm-hmm. My thing is, like, I don't care if this game is at 60 consistently. Like, if it's above 30, I'm playing on that. I played it a little bit on performance at the beginning because they kind of make you do it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't liking that experience. Like,
Okay. But otherwise, I mean, this is rated highly on Metacritic. And is this, would you say this is an early Game of the Year nominee for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those games where, you know, I could totally see it getting a Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. I do think there's other games that hasn't came out yet, mm-hmm. that we need to see, like Dragon's Dogma 2. I know a lot of people are going to like that game. You know, I still think Avow could be a contender. I don't know about Hellblade because I'm not like the biggest Hellblade fan, but I do think there's plenty of games that's still out there that, you know, probably. If I were a betting person, I would say this game has a good chance of winning Game of the Year, but it's definitely a nomination.
Mm-hmm. I would say, I don't bother with Square Enix to that degree. They get on my nerves. But, I'm happy that, you know, they put out something that's going to be successful. I'm happy you're liking it, but it's just never, Final Fantasy's never been on my radar. What I've been playing, I've kind of been bouncing around. The goal, right, for me is to do a game completion, whether it's the game is in Game Pass or it's in my backlog, just to go into a game that I found remotely interesting and try to go for the 100% completion if feasible. Now, a lot of people, you know, knock me for a lot of my completions are on, like, you know, bullcrap games, right? Jumping tackle type games. I was like, you know, I'm gonna go and like, there's a lot of obviously AAA, AA experiences that I enjoyed where I could see myself going for the 100% completion. And so what I was recently playing is Dead Island 2. Now we've had the game. It just went to Game Pass. So, you know, if you're a Game Pass subscriber, check this game out. You have no business missing out on this game. It was the best zombie game to come out in a better half of, I want to say 5 years. It's my favorite zombie game since Dead Rising 3. Dead Rising 3 was my favorite, but right now Dead Rising 3 is very, very outdated. It's hard to play. I tried going back to it a couple weeks ago. I can't play the frame rate, the screen breakup, and the graphical glitches in that game is not aged well. That game is definitely due for a remake. But I've done Dead Island 2, and I've I went to wrap up some achievements, and I forgot there was an expansion that came out, and so I did the expansion, and then I was able also to wrap up those achievements, and then wrap up the two main quest achievements I was missing. They were more like stat based stuff. And I was able to do that. So I got the 100% completion. I uninstalled the game. I will reinstall it should they drop another expansion, because that game is that good, is that dope. So definitely recommend Dead Island 2. Prior to Dead Island, I did Bluey. Got the 100% completion on that. No, I count that game. I don't think that's not one of those $2 BS games. This is a TV show adoption game. They did Peppa Pig. I was not feeling Peppa Pig, but Bluey the video game was actually pretty interesting. It was very interactive and intuitive, and I enjoyed it. I think they did a good job with that game. I don't know how far we haven't missed a week, but obviously I played Banishers. I'm trying to think right now. I'm trying to get back into, I want to try to get through Far Cry 4 and Far Cry 3. Far Cry 3 has been the longest game that it took me to be. Not saying that the game is long, it's just I've been trying to play it for years, and I make some significant progress during the time that I'm playing with it, and then I stop because I get either bored. I just want all right, just let's push the story. I started that. I'm about 60% through Far Cry 3. Started Far Cry 4. It's a bit of an improvement. And I started. I'm going back to. I think I'm going to try to do Ghostwire Tokyo. I've already beaten the game, but I do want to. I believe there's a new game plus. I'm not exactly sure. But if there is, the goal is to get the remaining achievements in the game. I don't mind playing through the game. I beat the game twice in 2023. I beat it on PC, then I beat it on Xbox when it came to Game Pass. It's also on Game Pass too by Tango. But a couple things here and there. There's not many major drops coming. I think the next game, what are we in March? So Final Fantasy was the big game that came out this year. I have not been on the Helldivers hype train. I have it. It's just like, okay. It's just, to me, it's just another, another game.
Like, don't get me wrong. I do think it looks very interesting, but
yeah,
like there's literally people trying to tell me that's the next big game. And it's like, no, it's like, look, that's a fun game. It's like Power Worlds, mm-hmm. When we were talking about Power Worlds and, people were hyping the hell up out of Power Worlds,
yes.
Was the first thing I said. I said, well, we got to see what this game does in the next couple weeks. People love to jump on trends, but then just leave and never come back. And what happened? It dropped 80% of its player base.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now it's at that. I think Power Worlds is but it's still maintaining a decent amount. Like, it had an unprecedented amount of people that played it during the first 48 hours, which is it hit that 3 million mark. It hit that.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm more referring to the people that act like this was the next big thing. It's like, no, it was let's be real here, that this has been a decent year for gaming, in terms of games, mm-hmm. but in terms of everything else, this has been an okay year. Like, and coming off of last year.
Yeah, go ahead.
And coming off of last year is like, damn.
No, I'm with you on that. Now, I do personally, I stand by my conviction and what I said. I do think 2024 will be a better year than 2023 as far as game releases. I think 2023 was highly overrated. You know, I had my share of favorite games. Now, my favorite games of last year were not, quote unquote, the cream of the crop, the everything that got nominated for Game of the Year. You know what I mean? My favorite games were Dead Island 2, RoboCop, Starfield, Wolong Fallen Dynasty. Things to that nature. I had a lot of fun with those type of games. We're early in the year. I mean, I do think Banishers is a dope game. I do think what's the game? I think Dragon's Dogma is going to be good. I think all the games Xbox is putting out this year is going to be pretty dope. And then there's those, you got Flintlock, I think it's going to be dope. That would be like the Liza P equivalent for this year. And then you got the Elden Ring expansion, which is going to be coming out, which I have to literally train myself how to play the game again so that I can actually do it. But yeah, though, I haven't been on the Helldivers bandwagon. Power Worlds, like I said, I played a little bit. I played more Power Worlds than I did of Helldivers. There's now obviously Final Fantasy is not my cup of tea. Looking forward to Dragon's Dogma 2. And what I did do, just so I can not be super new, but I'm not the biggest fans of Capcom games, right? I like Capcom, I respect them. They have an incredible roster of characters and IPs, right? No, obviously the Resident Evils, the Monster Hunters, Street Fighter, but like the thing is that I have like the stuff I like from Capcom is the stuff they don't really make anymore. Like they don't make Lost Planet, they don't make Dead Risings, stuff
I really
like that.
Like Dead Rising. Dead Rising was a fun game.
Yeah, and those are like my free. So Dragon Dogma, when I think of now, I will say I did like Devil May Cry 5. DMC was my last favorite real action game, from Capcom. So I have nothing against Capcom. It's just that I don't know what Dragon Dogma is. Is it more Souls, or is it more like, or is it more, what would you compare that to? Because I downloaded Dragon's Dogma, Dark Horizons. I literally downloaded that last night just so I could familiar with it.
I never played the original Dragon's Dogma, so I literally couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay. But right now, I mean,
it's like RPG based, though.
I know. Yeah, it's very, now based off the first one, it's very like what I would call loose gameplay, meaning that you could just pick up anything and throw it. Like I picked up people, I picked up boxes, anything you see, you could throw things. You could do, when you do have loose gameplay like that, it makes for a lot of things you can do in the game. Now, I don't know as far as what it means to the core gameplay of it. I already fought like big monsters, big creatures, building up characters. Right now, the game action buttons is the face buttons. So I'm curious. I'm going to play more of Dragon's Dogma Dark Horizons, the first game. I don't know how long the game is. I'm probably going to look up on how long to beat to see how, you know, what I'm looking at if I decide to play it seriously. Cause if it's one of those type of games, I might have to drop all the games I'm playing right now just to focus on that one, being that Dragon's Dogma 2 is due to release, I believe, on the 22nd of this month. So that's probably worth it. I'm gonna look more into it, but I don't know if the game is free, but I never owned the game, but apparently maybe you have it, because I don't know why I have access to the game, but I was able to download it when I looked
it
up.
Buy it.
Okay, cool. It's an old game.
One time when I was wanting to try it.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm doing Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
After I beat Final Fantasy, I kind of want to play that Unicorn Overlord game.
Yeah, I keep hearing about this game. What is it?
Oh, it's like a strategy game, like army based. I don't think you would like it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely not.
Not
something that's your forte. But you know, it's definitely something I like, you know, and I looked at that price though. It's like $60 and I'm just like,
damn.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't look at a game and like judge it off of its graphics, but it's like 16-bit area or 32-bit area. I don't know the difference between the two, but it's definitely not like modern day graphics.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I look
no.
at something like a $60 price tag and I'm just like, man, like I know I shouldn't judge this game off of this, but you know, I'm sitting here looking at these games. I'm like, I don't understand why these studios ask these type of prices from these type of games. Like, because it's not even about do they think their game's worth $60. Like, mm-hmm. like read the room. When I can go out there and buy Final Fantasy VII Rebirth for like $10 more, and then for your game, I have to spend just about the amount that game is, like, I just don't understand why devs, like, if they would drop that game and that game would be like $30, I bet you would sell way better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But these people, you know, and I get it. If they feel like they can make that money, then make that money. But I do feel like that's one of the biggest issues we have in the industry right now is people overvaluing, not necessarily what the game's worth, mm-hmm. but they don't try to compete on what is being sold. Like, you know, you sit there, you got like 2 weeks. Dragon's Dogma's out. Like, there's just so much out, and these companies want you to pay $60 for what I would consider. I mean, it I know this goes sound really messed up. If it can run on the Switch, it shouldn't be $60.
Oh, the funny you say that, being that most games on Switch is $60, and never on a discount. Unless it's
I guess I'm more referring to third party stuff.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, Nintendo has their own little flavor, and that's why they've been successful. I'm more, mainly just talking about, man, like, I do think that's one of the issues of the industry, and that's one of the reasons that the bubble was getting closer and closer to collapsing because you know, people aren't buying those indie games. And it's not an indie game. It's actually published by Atlas.
It's the Atlas game. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's just like, even though...
You know, their name carries weight now, right? Because Persona 3 is $60, $60 or $70, right? The remake?
Yeah, well, you know, I can understand Persona a little bit more. It's an established IP. You know, it there's a good chance it can still carry that weight. But, you know, if Persona was $40, I bet you would sell better.
Yeah, maybe.
And that was another big one of the big issues that happened when games went up $10. Indie games could go up $10. And you might be looking at, like, because games that normally were 50, that was in 40, that was indie, they're 50 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The indie and AA market has increased in terms of cost. But you bring up a funny thing. I honestly, I got distracted because I was reading this stupid this is an article that Games Radar put out. I'm sick and tired of these journalists with these stupid comments and their stupid headlines. You there?
Yeah.
Before I move on, because I do want to continue this conversation, this is what came across my Twitter. It said, Helldivers, Games Radar says, Helldivers 2 recaptures the co-op chaos of classic Halo games better than Halo itself. I need these guys to, like, because they're randomly dropping in vehicles. Like, they have a vehicle that's like not the Warhawk. What's the original, like, Mongoose type vehicle that was that we used to co-op in like from Halo 2 to like now, essentially. You got a vehicle like that in the game. My thing is, why are you guys comparing Halo and Helldivers? These games are not alike. They're not alike. Helldivers is a co-op horde shooter. That's all it is. A co-op horde shooter with objectives. That is it. You fight bugs on planets, and it has friendly fire. And that's the fun part. You could drop things on people and you shoot bugs. You have objectives and that's it. I don't understand why it compares to Halo. The armor is not the same. The universe is not the same. Nothing about Halo. I play Halo for combat arena multiplayer, and I play Halo for its story. Two reasons why I love Halo. I think its story is incredible, and I think its multiplayer is impeccable. Helldivers and Halo have nothing in common. So you PlayStation fanboy, stop comparing it. You dumb journalists with no freaking charisma, no dignity. Like, stop it for clicks, for sakes. Stop comparing Halo and Helldivers. They're not the same. They will never be in the same thing. Halo's in its own class. Helldivers is it's new. It's new money, right? It's new money. It's a new thing that people are trying to attach onto because they think PlayStation has cracked the code on multiplayer gaming. They have not. They caught lightning in a bottle, and it's fine, but it's not Halo. So stop it. Clip this. Post this. I don't care. I don't regret what I'm saying. I stand by what I'm saying. Halo is in its own class by itself. I don't care what journalist. I don't care how many college degrees, how many writing degrees, how many awards, whatever. Helldivers ain't got nothing on a single Halo game. Not a single Halo game. Helldivers 2 ain't touching the worst Halo game. I will say that 10 toes down. Stop it. All right. My bad, Attic.
I definitely understand, like, where you're coming from, and I don't think that it can touch any Halo game, but I do think that I could see where they're coming from, where in the terms of, like, scale, it's like, you know, Halo could have done better with its scale, because if you remember the original Halos, it had really good scale, and then they kind of, you know, brought that back a little bit. So I can understand where they're coming from in those terms, but in just straight up quality, like, Halo has a story that people actually care about. Halo's got multiplayer that, for the most part, people actually care about. Like, they're not really, it's not comparable.
No, absolutely not. The one thing, also one thing I wanted to point out in today's episode, because you brought it, as far as the pricing, right? There's this, I want people to fall back off this whole, like, you know, you don't, like, you guys need to buy your games and, you know, all this. There's this over-reliance on, like, still shaming people on the fact that they're not buying games in the way, like, people, like, all the decisions with Xbox, which we're going to talk about, and people point to, oh, because you guys don't buy games and all this other stuff. I had posted a tweet that ticked me off because Red Dragon was quote tweeting me. I guess he was trying to egg people on because I said, you know, I'm disappointed in the Toys for Bob, you know, break off, which we're going to talk about that, because the reason why I was hyped for Toys for Bob, because I was looking forward to their games coming into Game Pass, right? The Crash, the Spirals, and whatever they make, you know, like, you know, I want them because I want their games. But I also want their games in Game Pass, right? So I'm subscribed to Game Pass. The only reason why I rooted for this ABK deal to go through is because, hey, there's a lot of games they got I'd like to play in Game Pass, right? And the whole point was that, you know, he wants to highlight that I'm mad because they're breaking off because their games won't be free or something like that. And it's like, when you're in Game Pass, Game Pass is not a free service. You pay monthly. It's a monthly subscription, just like your Netflix account isn't free. Just like your Apple Music, your Spotify, all that stuff that's not free. You know, you pay a monthly subscription for it and you consume your stuff on demand, right? As they come. And Game Pass is the same thing. It's just a different medium. It's video games. It's interactive entertainment. So the thing is, it's like, why are you trying to, like, so what? So what? I want something cheaper. I shouldn't have to be reliant. Personally, I don't feel like I need to fork out $70 for every game that comes out. I don't have to buy every single game that I find slightly interesting the day it comes out at full price. I will buy a game at a discount. I will buy a game off someone. I will buy a game used. I will play it in the subscription, or I'll play it free. If there are games available to me multiple ways, I'm going to pick the way it's more economically beneficial to me. Like, so why what is this whole thing where everybody has to buy their games at full price, like all the time. Why is that a problem? Why do I have to like throw away my common sense, my responsibility, my financial responsibility to make sure I'm doing my part, to make sure I can say this about this because I buy my games? It's a stupid flex. It's the dumbest flex on the internet. And like, you know, I'm a happy, proud member of Xbox Game Pass. I will continue to be if it continues to exist. And I'm happy that it's only what, $16, $17 a month, and I get to play multiple video games that cost $50, $60, $70 in most cases on demand when I want, whenever I want, and not have to feel like, oh damn. Because pre-Game Pass, I used to have these conversations monthly. I would count how much money I was spending in games, right? And then my conversion ratio on those games would be hella low because I would drop them, right? And dumb me, I converted to digital a long time ago. So when I buy a game, I buy the game. Sure, I can ask for or try to get a refund. Xbox could give refunds and whatnot, but it's not like me buying a game, trying out for a day and then bringing it back or having to trade back. It's like typically once you download it, you got it. If it sucks, it sucks. It's just there. It's dead weight. Game Pass eliminates the whole buyer's remorse. I never bought it, went into Game Pass, downloaded the game, played it, said, damn, this sucks. I hate that I downloaded it. I never had that feeling. So I was like, all right, whatever. I'll just, like, let me get my gigabytes back on my hard drive and find something else to play. You know what I mean? It's nothing's wrong with the service, but everybody wants to treat the service as if it's a bad thing to the industry, like it's a deterrent to the industry, and they should do away with it. And anytime they hate the service, and then they'll find out, like, something, they'll do a report on, like, PlayStation and their service, and if PlayStation has anything remotely better in their subscription service, they can now tolerate the subscription service because PlayStation slightly does certain aspects of it better. But when it comes to Game Pass as in whole, it's bad because it indoctrinated us not to buy games. I still very much buy games. I just don't buy at the rate that I used to because I'm not a dummy. I'm not an idiot. Like, I buy when it's necessary to buy, but for the most part, I consume what's available to me via Game Pass. And it helps that the primary platform I play on is Xbox. And because my primary platform is Xbox and PC, they have the subscription service where majority of the games that come out and I'm interested is typically found in the service. So why be a dummy? That's like me being mad that let's say, for example, Beverly Hills Cop 4 is coming out, right? Eddie Murphy. I don't believe this is coming out in the theaters. I do believe this is a Netflix exclusive. Now, that's like, I'm going to watch the movie, right? Because I'm a big Beverly Hills Cops fan. A big Beverly Hills Cops fan. Right? I don't own a single one of them. I'll probably look them up to try to buy them, but I don't have a DVD player. I have to use my Xbox to watch some of these things. I don't have a DVD player personally. But I am a big Beverly Hills Cops fan. I watch the films 3 times a year every year. Right? All 3 of them. When number 4 comes out, I'm going to watch it. And I hope it's good. But you know one thing I'm not going to do? I'm not going to complain that, man, this thing could have made so much money if it was available for me to buy. Like, I'm already paying for it. That's how I look at it. I'm already paying for Beverly Hills Cop 4 because for every day I don't watch a movie in Netflix, I'm wasting money, right? But let's carry on. I need to stamp that too. Freaking.
Oh, I feel you. Hey, the thing is people are too... People are too obsessed with thinking their opinion is the end all be all. Like, they make too many definite statements. It's just like, dude, come on, man. Like, it's just like the Xbox thing. I can sit here and talk over and over again how I think this is or I think that. Ain't nobody really know. Nobody knows how this is going to work out. Game Pass, same scenario. You know, does other people do it? Yeah, but not to the degree that Xbox does it. Nobody knows how the long-term effect of that is going to affect the industry. I've always had the stance that for the most part, you know, when you see these people complaining about this, saying they're not going to buy this game because it's on Game Pass, I will say that it's hurt the indie market. How many times you saw someone say, oh, that game looks cool, but that looks like a Game Pass game. I'm going to wait for it. So, you know, there is negatives and positives to everything. But, you know, as far as to clown people for spending their money correctly, I don't know about all that one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like these games are coming out half the time more and more broken than the last, not working more and more than the last.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to try to clown me for getting one on them?
Yeah.
Like how bad these games function half the time. You're going to try to clown me because I don't want to spend $60, $70 on stuff like Suicide Squad? You know, let's talk about that. You know, you go sit there and tell me, oh, you know, you which I didn't play Suicide Squad, but mm-hmm. oh, you did this. Oh, you clowning because you spent money on this. Well, let's talk about the people that bought Suicide Squad. Can you honestly tell me that you feel confident in buying that game?
Now, I don't know.
It's like, once again, you know, I think that we've gotten to the point a little bit, and you know, it's not everyone, but I think a lot of people these days are caring more about the consumer. I mean, caring more about corporations than they care about the consumer. You know, how many times have you heard someone say, you know, this is just a classic example of toxic positivity, but they'll say stuff like, oh, the game, the networks don't work well. But, you know, I understand, you know, that you can't really tell these things from day one. It's like, look, is that excuse valid? Yeah. Does the consumer should give two shits that they didn't do what they're supposed to? Absolutely not.
No,
the fact that their games didn't work on day one, something like Helldivers, is the only conversation that needs to be had. Especially when you didn't really see them do too much in terms of open betas, closed betas, multiple public betas. Yeah. So you mean to tell me that you were happy with paying that $40 and not accessing your game for 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. People were hyping the fact that the servers were overloaded more than complaining that the servers were overloaded. Like, the thing is, it's like, bro, it's like, as an Xbox fan, I get, you know, crapped on because they say I'm a corporate slave and stuff like that. And I get called a corporate slave for simply liking games that they don't, or liking a game that's rated at an 80 instead of a 90. These guys were celebrating the fact that game servers were overloaded and they couldn't get access to the game. You know what happened to Halo Master Chief Collections when the servers had issues? The review scores tanked and nearly killed the game.
Yeah, it did.
And they spent years trying to recover from that.
It, you know, Helldivers, it's not acceptable the way Helldivers came out. You know, and especially being a Sony first party game. But at the end of the day, you know, I didn't see the media really talk about it too much. I didn't see nothing. It did felt like, you know, it was kind of like everyone's got to be understanding. You know, and that's what I said, that there's too much of that going on in the industry. Oh, this game doesn't work the way it's supposed to, but you know, that's just how the industry is. No, it's not how the industry is. That's just how some of these games are. Doesn't mean you have to accept it. You know, it's like I said, there could definitely be excuses, and that's fine. But at the same time, let's not sit here and get this shit twisted. Let's not get this twisted at all. These games shouldn't be coming out the way they are. You know, now they could have legitimate excuses, but do you think that's the consumers even, should they even care?
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
No. As a consumer, right?
I feel like a lot of people, especially on Twitter and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they do nothing but give people excuses. They do mm-hmm. nothing but give companies excuses. Oh, you know, it just like the people speaking out about, you know, whether or not Xbox going all, you know, full publisher or whatever could affect Xbox in the long term. Instead of having a conversation that's like, look, this could be such a negative outgoing that it could lead to them leaving the console industry, and I'm very nervous to where my digital output's going to go. Instead of having that conversation, people said, well, you're fear-mongering. I put a lot of money into the Xbox ecosystem, and I'm sorry, I have every right to be concerned on what the direction they're going to do that might lead, even the possibility, mm-hmm. to me losing that access.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So with that being said, the only... So there was no major news, right? Obviously, there was more layoffs. PlayStation laid off a bunch of people. Think EA. Was it EA? EA laid off a bunch of people. And on the Xbox side of things, or Activision side of things, Toys for Bob announced that they will be going independent. They'll be breaking away from Activision and technically at this point Microsoft, and be operating as an independent studio. They did note that they are hoping to enter in a new partnership or new agreement with Microsoft. They made sure to put that, and they said, keep our horns up, I guess, hinting Spiral. Now, when I read this, I got annoyed for selfish reasons, but I got annoyed. I'm not afraid to admit it. Clearly, you got annoyed. You put out a video.
I lost like 30 subs over that whole shit. Like, the Xbox community. I mean, let's be real here. They banished me and you for years. Like, we might get, I do get more support from the Xbox community than maybe you do.
Yeah.
But yeah. They don't like either one of us.
No. And that's true. So my thing is, I do want to continue from your take. I mean, I'll give my take a little bit later of, you know, how I initially felt, but you took this strongly, which is hence the reason of some of the commentary that's concerning you as a content creator, the commentary on your video, and the reaction, people maybe thinking you're a bit overreacting. But I feel like there's a lot to say in this one, and I definitely want to get your take.
Here's the thing. People sit there and they say, well, Addict, it's better than them being a Call of Duty machine. Mm-hmm. Acting like Xbox can't wake up and say, you're no longer working on Call of Duty. I do not believe that you couldn't have one without the other. You could have done both. You could have easily had allowed them to make their own games without branching them off into a different type of company. Now, look, is it good for Toys for Bob? Yeah. It depends on if the games work out. People sit here and act like, you know, the way the industry is, that it's good on indies. No, it's not. You know, there is multiple scenarios that can lead bad for Toys for Bob. Now, they want to do this, so that's cool. You know, I'm cool with them having their creative freedom and them being on their own. It's just when the Activision deal was first announced, I don't give two shits, not even the slightest, on 88%, and probably more than that, what ABK offers. I'm not a COD person. Now, I do like some of the Blizzard games, but not much. I don't even like Diablo. Mm-hmm. I have Diablo on my system right now,
mm-hmm.
and I don't even like that game. Toys for Bob, because I felt like they're the type of company that makes those old platformers that I really enjoy,
yeah.
when I was younger. I was hopeful that company would be able to breathe some life into some of Xbox's old IPs. Yeah. Maybe make a Banjo-Kazooie. I felt like out of all the stuff that Microsoft makes, Toys for Bob makes unique stuff that they don't have.
Yeah.
So that's what I was excited about. Now, obviously, they can still do that. You know, it's not mutually exclusive that, you know, they are their own company and they can't work with Xbox. But, you know, let's say that they do make, you know, a Crash game. Make the best Crash game they've ever made. And then Nintendo hits them up. It's like, yo, we want you to make Donkey Kong. We're going to give you a 10-year deal, 5-year game. And then they hit Toys for Bob. Like, people really liked your last Crash game. Can we get another one? And Toys for Bob's like, I'm being contracted by 2 other companies, including Nintendo. I don't got time. So they put themselves in a situation that they put themselves in when it comes to Killer Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Now they sitting on all the, and the people are like, I love when people are said, well, that doesn't mean anything, Addict. You know, they still own the IPs. Okay, they own a lot of damn IPs.
Yeah, they own a lot of IPs. With. Yeah.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? They own the IP. Like, that's my biggest issue with the thing. It's just like the same people that drug me through Twitter are the same people that ensured me that Microsoft was buying these studios to properly fund them and evolve them as developers and make better games in general. These are the same people that told me that. So, okay, I guess they meant we're going to spin them off into their own company. Not to mention, what's this going to do in the long term of things when it comes to, do you think that Toys for Bob were the only company that wanted to be alone? But I bet you a bunch of companies didn't even think something like this was possible. So now you probably got other companies in that Microsoft owns that's thinking, yo, I want that too. You know, people sit there and they attack me. What it is, they don't care. And them going, Toys for Bob's not really a studio that they really care about. So why would they care if they're going independent? But let this been like an Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if people would have the same mentality when it comes to, oh, you know, you can't just be, you know, spinning off these games, like you can't be doing that. But it's because the studio they don't really care about in the long term of things. I think that's the reason a lot of these people be acting this way.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this is good for Toys for Bob. Fantastic for Toys for Bob. But I don't understand how Xbox losing a studio, a whole ass studio, is good for Xbox.
Yeah. I have a ton of questions, and you're right, right? So I said it like this, and I said the same thing. I was like, all right, ultimately, I do believe it's good for Toys for Bob and only Toys for Bob. But it's also a catch-22. It's a gift and a curse. It's a big gamble. It's a big gamble. Because in order for them to operate, they need partnerships like Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo to back them to pretty much pay them to make a game. Because if they flop, that flop could be strong enough to shut them down. And that's why a lot of studios pretty much closed. Now, if this is a situation, now, if I was behind the walls and I learned that, okay, they Xbox is going to shut down Toys for Bob's, like they're going to close the studio, then yes, this is the best outcome for them. Because if the ultimate thing was to close the studio, then... Especially I want my studio to be shut down. I'm buying myself out. I'll operate on my own.
And I don't even take that as an excuse, because then
it's not like, an excuse, because my thing is Microsoft. What do you have? Why would you do something that stupid, considering you have a big hole in your library?
It's not even just that too. Like, Michael, you didn't even give these people the opportunity to make a game under your brand.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's frustrating me. That's why I tweeted the ABK deal was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
Because not only are we hearing that, you know, four games are coming over, or which was not hearing anymore. That's what's happening. Where also studios that they bought in ABK are going off on their own. And if people think this is the only studio that's going to do that, I don't think so.
Now, I'll say this, a couple things I'll say, right? And just to stay on Twitch for Bob. So the problem is, all right, if it was a studio shutdown, then okay. But then I still think Microsoft needed a Toys for Bob to cover games for children. They don't have platformers in their library. They have a ton of IPs, but they don't have a studio that specializes there. Toys for
the
Bob.
Best did. Way for you to sell Game Pass to children.
The children. You need
parents to buy them.
You need the games. That's why they keep making these games. That's why you find games like Bluey and Peppa Pig and all that other stuff. PJ Mask and Paw Patrol in there. But it was like, bro, like you guys have original IP appropriate for children that will buy in and more known that people will buy into service, like utilize them. Like my thing is, I can understand if Toys for Bob, like, hey, we don't want to be a part of Activision anymore. Why not just, okay, you're no longer part of the Activision branch. You're going to be now under Xbox Game Studios. Along with like Obsidian and Ninja Theory and all that, you're now separate of that. Do that. And, you know, and then, and like, all right, you don't have to work on Call of Duty. But my thing is for Microsoft to agree, because they didn't have to agree. Somebody could request independence. Like, nah, you bugging.
They agreed because they didn't want them from the start.
So if you didn't want them from the start, which means they don't get the gamer's picture. They're not interested in filling the holes what gamers want. And this is, so yes, this is a Microsoft L. This is an Xbox L. Yeah, Toys for Bob. Yes, you got your independence. Good luck. Hopefully the next game you make is a success, because it almost needs to be so that you can afford to maintain a studio. Or it just puts them as an independent pretty much up for sale. You know, what's to stop Nintendo from acquiring them, or PlayStation, or EA, somebody who doesn't have it, and be like, hey, we need you guys to do this.
You know what the funny thing about that is, real quick? People were clowning me because I said Nintendo might be interested in Toys for Bob. They literally make the type of games Nintendo likes.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean they wouldn't be interested in Toys for Bob? That is probably, Nintendo's probably always eyeballed them to some degree.
Yeah. So my thing is and Microsoft will be bragging about, oh, how much we got, 27 this studios or 30. How much is it with Activision? Was it 27 including Activision, or the 27 was just Xbox and Bethesda?
I think it was 34 with everyone.
34 with everyone.
Or something like that.
And now,
I mean, it's minus one. So
it's minus one. It's one less now. And I think that was a bad move for Xbox, and me as a consumer. I'm concerned. It's like, all right, I don't know, maybe they didn't own any IPs, but I figure if they don't own, my first concern is like, well, damn,
so
I'm
Microsoft maintains all the IPs.
Yeah, maintain all the IPs. It's but I
a, like a, it's a Bungie situation where they're leaving on their order core with nothing in their hands.
But my thing is, what other studios can really make games like that? Rare? But Rare hasn't conducted a game like that in 30 years. So, like, the thing is that it was their best interest to actually keep them.
And I'm kind of curious on, when you look at, like, because they said, well, they're being took off the Call of Duty machine. So I'm kind of curious, like, is something being changed in terms of how Call of Duty's being developed? Because just because these studios left doesn't mean that that's still not something that needs to be done.
Yeah.
So it's like, is Call of Duty going to be affected by this? Which I don't really care.
Probably to a small degree, but the thing is,
I don't care about Call of Duty.
Call of Duty comes out every.
They're making the mobile version.
I thought Raven does that.
I guess
I know Raven does the Warzone. My thing is, Call of Duty, like, to maintain an annual release of Call of Duty and a proper support, I do think, yeah, they should have their three main studios, that Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Raven, I think, should be the only ones. Sledgehammer, they could go ahead and do something else, but I think Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Raven should be really the ones that power Call of Duty, and I think that should be enough. You know what I mean?
The thing is, too, is like, you know, they look at some of these studios and they're like, well, they shouldn't be support studios. Like, here's the thing. as much as I love games having creative freedom, when you have big projects that came out yearly, like such as like a Call of Duty, you need to have support studios helping that progression. Now, does that mean they have to do that every time? No. And I think that was the biggest issue with this whole scenario.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, it's just disappointing because like that was the only game I cared about. Literally the only game the only studio that I cared about that I felt like could make games that would have, you know, enticed me. And now they don't have it. So it's just like, at that point, what do I get now for the ABK thing? Me personally?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Nothing. I understand, like, the people, the studios I was most interested in under Activision were the ones that had games outside of Call of Duty. So the people who did, like, you know, the prototype and stuff like that, I was interested in more of those games coming back. The people that were doing the licensed games and obviously Toys for Bob for Crash and Spyro because they address platformers, which Xbox sorely lacks. But, you know, we'll see. We're supposed to get some news next week on something. I don't know. But Xbox, you know, it's crazy. For a year, this year is weird because this is the year that Xbox should have put their flag in the ground. Four major games come in this year exclusive, more first party games than PlayStation, and they should be utilizing these efforts to market what's coming to Xbox and Game Pass and really trying to, this should have been their real push to compete heavy. And instead,
I think that's the part that annoys me the most.
Yeah.
They're finally in a position, it's like you said a couple weeks ago on ILP, where they can seriously, you know, dictate certain things, especially this year, because PlayStation really, besides Rebirth and Helldivers, like, what do they really have scheduled that we know about right now? If it was bigger titles, I felt like it would already be announced, so it's going to be a light year for PlayStation, and instead of taking advantage of that, all you've been hearing, you know, people tell me, oh, you're a doom and gloom addict, like, even not just Xbox. What is there, like, the industry is not in a good place. Layoffs 24/7. Every day I wake off, there's a studio getting shut down, or there's layoffs.
Yeah.
Every day I wake up, there's games being madly underperformed, or there's games just not doing well at all.
Yeah, that's true. And we gotta get to the bottom of it. But Attic, I know you got to get ready for the next podcast, and I want you to be able to get your legs up, get some blood flowing, take a deep breath before you sit in for another 3 hours. But I appreciate you. Yeah, that's an understatement. But I appreciate you coming through and allowing us to get this podcast out the way. Episode 32, Planet Xbox Podcast. I'm going to cut a couple of these clips up, and it's going on the Kiss Smooth channel. But this one you can catch, obviously, whole episode on Patreon, whole episode on BG's channel, but exclusively early access Patreons. So make sure you subscribe to the Weapon Wheel Patreon for that. Attic, thank you. As always, Xbox is the best box. I am the best bot. Good night or good morning if you're on the other side of the globe. We're out of here. Peace.
Peace.